TED Audio Collective.
This TED Talk features education innovator Alvin Irby, recorded live at TED Residency 2017.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, it's Adam Grant. I host a podcast called Rethinking, about the science of what makes us tick. This season, we're talking about navigating young adulthood with clinical psychologist Meg Jay.
If I had to pick one word that I hear from 20-somethings more than any other word in terms of where the struggles come from, it's uncertainty. And so I think just the uncertainty involved in how do you make those big life decisions, how do you take control of your life.
Find and follow Rethinking with Adam Grant wherever you're listening.
As an elementary school teacher, my mom did everything she could to ensure I had good reading skills. This usually consisted of weekend reading lessons at our kitchen table while my friends played outside. My reading ability improved, but these forced reading lessons didn't exactly inspire a love of reading. High school changed everything. In 10th grade, my regular English class read short stories in its spelling tests. Out of sheer boredom, I asked to be switched into another class. The next semester, I joined Advanced English. We read 2 novels and wrote 2 book reports that semester. The drastic difference in rigor between these 2 English classes angered me and spurred questions like, where did all these white people come from? My high school was over 70% Black and Latino, but this advanced English class had white students everywhere. This personal encounter with institutionalized racism altered my relationship with reading forever. I learned that I couldn't depend on a school, a teacher, or a curriculum to teach me what I needed to know. And more out of rebellion than being intellectual, I decided I would no longer allow other people to dictate when and what I read. And without realizing it, I'd stumbled upon a key to helping children read: identity. Instead of fixating on skills and moving students from one reading level to another, or forcing struggling readers to memorize lists of unfamiliar words, we should be asking ourselves this question: how can we inspire children to identify as readers? Deshaun, a brilliant first grader I taught in the Bronx, he helped me understand how identity shapes learning. One day during math, walk up to Deshaun and I say, Deshaun, you're a great mathematician. He looks at me and responds, I'm not a mathematician, I'm a math genius. Okay, Deshaun, right? Reading, completely different story. Mr. Irby, I can't read. I'm never gonna learn to read, he would say. I taught Deshaun to read, but there are countless Black boys who remain trapped in illiteracy. According to the U.S. Department of Education, more than 85% of Black male fourth graders are not proficient in reading. 85%. The more challenges to reading children face, the more culturally competent educators need to be. Moonlighting as a stand-up comedian for the past 8 years, I understand the importance of cultural competency, which I define as the ability to translate what you want someone else to know or be able to do into communication or experiences that they find relevant and engaging. Before going on stage, I assess an audience. Are they white? Are they Latino? Are they old, young, professional, conservative? Then I curate and modify my jokes based on what I think will generate the most laughter. While performing in a church, I could tell bar jokes, but that might not result in laughter. As a society, we're creating reading experiences for children that are the equivalent of telling bar jokes in a church. And then we wonder why so many children don't read. Educator and philosopher Paulo Freire believed that teaching and learning should be two-way. Students shouldn't be viewed as empty buckets to be filled with facts, but as co-creators of knowledge. Cookie-cutter curriculums and school policies that require students to sit statue still or to work in complete silence, these environments often exclude the individual learning needs, the interests, and the expertise of children, especially Black boys. Many of the children's books promoted to Black boys focus on serious topics like slavery, civil rights, and biographies. Less than 2% of teachers in the United States are Black males, and a majority of Black boys are raised by single mothers. There are literally young Black boys who have never seen a Black man reading or never had a Black man encourage him to read. What cultural factors, what social cues are present that would lead a young Black boy to conclude that reading is even something he should do? This is why I created Barbershop Books. It's a literacy nonprofit that creates child-friendly reading spaces in barbershops. The mission is simple: to help young Black boys identify as readers. Lots of Black boys go to the barbershop once or twice a month. Some see their barbers more than they see their fathers. Barbershop Books connects reading to a male-centered space and involves Black men and boys' early reading experiences. This identity-based reading program uses a curated list of children's books recommended by Black boys. These are the books that they actually want to read. Scholastic's 2016 Kids and Family Report found that the number one thing children look for when choosing a book is a book that will make them laugh. So if we're serious about helping Black boys and other children to read when it's not required, we need to incorporate relevant male reading models into early literacy and exchange some of the children's books that adults love so much for funny, silly, or even gross books like Gross Greg. You call them boogers. Greg calls them delicious little sugars. That laugh, that positive reaction, or gross reaction some of you just had, Black boys deserve and desperately need more of that. Dismantling the savage inequalities that plague American education requires us to create reading experiences that inspire all children to say three words: I'm a reader. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com. You're growing a business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.